I really hope you enjoy my presentation. It might be a bit wobbly because Mum's holding it. So, here we go.
Hello, I'm Harry and this is my story.
That was Harry Moseley. This week's show is dedicated to Harry Moseley and his wonderful charity that he set up, Help Harry Help Others. So welcome to Crack at the Rulers. It's going to be a brilliant show coming on today. We have the wonderful Georgina Moseley.
Hi!
Georgina or Georgie, which do you prefer?
Georgie. Yeah.
Georgie, yeah. Nice and informal like me, lovely.
Yes,
Georgie Moseley. And as always, the wonderful Ewan Rankin, who makes
Hello,
all
mate.
This possible. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. You?
Good. Good, thank you. Not too
I'm a bit hungover.
What's new?
It was a good night.
Was a very good night, yeah. We were at the camera book launch last night.
With David. David took us to camera
Yeah,
launch.
So yeah, it was fabulous up in Head of Steam on Cornwall Road. So,
good beer guide. I have a picture.
Have you got a picture?
Oh, I've got a picture of the guide.
Good, good, good. Because the I had a quick flick through the guide. It was absolutely brilliant last night. I'm going to get one
It would take me more than a year to get through that guide.
Yeah.
Let alone drinking it.
You're never going to go to every pub in there. But there's loads in there. I think they said there's 19 new pubs in the West Midlands this year. So that's brilliant.
That's good.
There's a challenge.
There's a challenge. We could definitely do the ones in the West Midlands over a year.
Real ale is alive and well.
Alive and well and kicking. I had some really lovely ones last night. And I always say this, I'm not an ale drinker, but then when I drink it, I go, oh, this is really nice. So it's like a thing in your head, isn't it, where you go, oh, I don't drink ale, I don't do it. What's your tipple?
Gin, Malibu, shot, a little bit of wine.
Oh, Georgie.
Go with the flow.
Fancy going drinking one night? You sound like my type of woman.
Is that one after the other?
Yeah. Expensive night out.
That's all right. They're the best nights out. Definitely, yeah. 100%. Malibu. I haven't had a Malibu in years. You used to drink that.
1987.
Malibu, hey?
Yeah, it's gin o'clock.
Gin o'clock after this. You're done now after
I'm done. After a 5:30 start, I'm done.
Yeah, you're incredibly hard working, aren't you? 100%. Yeah. Every time I see you, you're like, oh, running all over the place. Everyone's ringing you. Your phone's going off all the time. You're like an extremely busy woman.
Just need more hours in the day like everybody else.
Yes, and more people helping out. So you've got, how many staff have you got in yours now?
Three.
It's not a lot of staff for the amount of work
that you
do.
Three of us there, and we've got a youth counsellor that's placed with us, but she's not an employed member of the team. So.
Right.
But yeah, we're very tiny, and with 20 services on site with what we do, it's non-stop, but I wouldn't have it any other way, really.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the services on site, we'll talk more in a while, but there's loads, absolutely loads. When I was doing a bit of research about it, I couldn't believe the amount of different stuff that you do on there. Ranging from all of the emotional support type things to pain therapy, nutritional workshops, all the best things that anybody at any stage going through a hard time is going to need. And it's pretty much all encompassing for the whole family as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just
cancer
about
affects
the person.
Everybody, So it's for, you know, it's for relatives, the patient, the carer, the work colleagues, friends, because they get affected too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So any bad thing that happens in your life, it has a knock-on effect of everybody else in your life.
Fantastic.
So tell us, how did it all start, and tell us about the wonderful Harry.
Harry was my son, and he was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2007. Went through cancer treatment, and in the first year of his treatment, when he was seven, he met a guy called Robert Harley, who was also very poorly with his brain tumour. He was at the QE hospital. They become friends. I mean, Robert was 55 and Harry was 7. Yeah. So an unlikely friendship blossomed and they stayed in touch. And then in 2009, Harry heard that Robert was poorly. Robert used to be the director of South Staffordshire Water.
Right.
Lived out in Worcester. And so they used to meet up and phone each other for scan results and things like that. And then Harry basically said, "Mom, I've got to do something. There's not enough being done for people with cancer." After a visit to see Robert, we went home and for a treat the next day, because Harry was affected quite a bit with his treatments. He was like always tired. He loved arts and crafts, so we took him to Hobbycraft, and he spotted beads and he went, "That's his face. I can just see it now." He had the cheekiest smile anybody who's seen him online. his face lit up and he said, "Mum, that's it." He said, "I'm going to make Robert better, but I don't want to beg for a quid. I'm going to make him sell bracelets. And anybody that gives me a pound or whatever donation, I'm going to give them a thank you present."
Yeah.
In the colours of their football teams, whatever. And that was it, really, how Parry was born. He created it, designed the branding of it, and it became a campaign.
He was a proper little entrepreneur, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And I suppose that's one of the, you know, obviously it's very sad. We miss, you know, we've got his 8th anniversary coming up of his passing in October.
Yeah.
But I think what's more sad is the not knowing what he'd have become.
Yeah.
That's what cancer robbed us of, is the to see what he would have progressed and become now, you know. Would he be at uni? Would he be working? You know, would I be still putting my foot on his backside? You know,
he's like, and think, what would he bed. Be?
Yeah.
But I suppose one positive thing is he had the opportunity to, well, he achieved an awful lot in his little life. And he really did. He was a winner, really. Okay, it was an awful thing that happened, but he made the absolute most of every minute he had. So.
Definitely. And I always say, I think Harry proved that regardless of your age, your wealth, your lifestyle and your well-being, you can achieve anything if you're passionate enough. And Harry taught me that, you know. So he's done good. For a council estate boy, he did good.
He did,
and I'm still very proud of him.
He's a great lad. Good. Shall we have, we'll do a quick bit about what's coming up around in the area, and then we'll come back on a bit while later now and have a bit more of a chat about that, look at the website and everything, and we want to get some donations in, ladies and gentlemen, to help Harry help others. And there's a big campaign coming up to do with lemons. Suck the lemons.
Better looking lemons than that one.
I was going to say, I've been in the bottom of my bag.
I'm not forward to sucking
the
this.
The things that are in Georgie's handbag.
the things that we do. That's all right.
Have you cut into it yet?
No, not yet. I'm not even going to look. At the end of the day, we're going to suck that lemon no matter what happens.
God.
No matter how bad it is, we're going to suck it.
Can I just pull the face instead?
No, you have to suck the lemon. Right, okay, so coming up, we have, so the first one we're going to talk about is...
This is close to my heart.
The Whiskey Festival.
I'm a big whiskey lover, yeah.
You
Saturday,
love whiskey,
14th of September, Midlands Whiskey Festival.
Yeah, you do love a whiskey, don't you?
I do, and I can't go.
Oh, it's probably just as well.
Probably. No, I can't go. I'm working this weekend again.
Oh, never mind. I'm going there. No, I'm not really.
You nasty woman.
No, I'm not. So, okay, the Midlands Whiskey Festival, Birmingham 2019. So it's Saturday, the 14th of September, 11:30 to 5:30.
Yep.
It's on Cannon Street.
Yes, it looks amazing. It does look superb. Yeah. I'm just going to click on get tickets, but there's going to be a whole pile of whiskies there with a lot of people who are more knowledgeable than me. I just like drinking the stuff. So
they do brilliant ones and brilliant whiskey tastings, and there'll be workshops telling you about the whiskey and how to taste it and all that fabulous stuff, which is always nice. Oh, cigar pairing with Hunters and Franco.
Hunters and Franco.
That one's sold out though. Franco, that one's sold out.
Early bird tickets gone as well. £40 if you want to get in. I'm hoping there's a lot of whiskey with that though.
I was going to say, yeah, normally that's quite a few testers and things like that. But I think if you like whiskey, you're going to pay £40 to get in there.
I would.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like a really good one. And this has been going for a few years now, hasn't it?
I don't know. I've never seen it before. This is what doing this show is good for me, because I just, I never hear of any of the stuff that's going on. You know it all, but I don't. So it's, I'm hearing about most of these events for the first time.
This is a good one.
It looks amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. I would love to go. Yeah. I'll wait for next year, though, now, and hope that I'm free to go next year. That'd be good.
Cool. Fab. Okay. If you like whiskey, get there. Okay. Next one coming up is the Big Fat Pizza Festival. So this is another nice one. Not sure about the name of it.
If you want to be big and fat, go to the Pizza Festival.
Yeah, I think they've kind of misbranded that a little bit. They could have been a bit more positive on the branding.
Yeah.
But the, so this is Saturday as well.
Yeah.
And this one is going to be at, where is it?
I can't see it. Location, Quantum Exhibition Centre.
Quantum Exhibition. So Digbeth. That's in Digbeth, so just down the back of Digbeth. So it's a big, it was a warehouse, but now it's all done out with a bar and all things like that. So this is normally where they also have a couple of the Mexican festivals and things like that in there.
Are you a pizza lover, Georgie?
don't mind a bit of pizza. Not a huge fan.
Tell me you don't put pineapple on it, though.
And jalapenos.
Yeah,
jalapenos. I'll say jalapenos. Yeah. You might say
jalapenos. Jalapenos.
Yeah, jalapenos.
With the peppers, yeah, totally up for that. But
spice.
Man.
Yeah.
Pineapple on a pizza.
Right, another one that's always contentious ingredient on pizzas. Anchovies. You like anchovies?
No. I don't like anchovies.
No. Oh, olives. Oh, yeah, I could live off olives. I love olives.
Yeah.
Anchovies, I don't mind anchovies. I love anchovies when you roast lamb. Slit up the lamb, put the anchovies in, and it just melts into the lamb. So it literally disappears into the flavour of lamb.
Dinner on Sunday then?
Well, dinner on Sunday for me this week is in the plough. I can't wait. Oh. Big Sunday dinner without me having to cook it. I love it. So definitely if you like pizza, get yourself down there and have a little look. And then the big one coming up around Deepeth this weekend, Peaky Blinders. Everybody
is Killian going to be there?
Because
the female content will go up rapidly if he is.
Well, I'll do you a favour, guys. Yeah, he's going to be there. No, I don't know if he's there. I don't know. I doubt it. But I do know that on the Saturday, Liam Gallagher is confirmed to be on stage.
I can gladly miss that.
He's put a tweet out. Oh, come on. Liam Gallagher's good.
I can't say the word of what Liam Gallagher is, so.
No, well, don't.
I won't say it, no.
No. I like Liam Gallagher. He's got. I can see why people always go, oh, he's a bit of a handful and things like that. But I quite like people like that.
I suppose.
Yeah, I like people that are, there's no messing about in them. They are what they are.
Says what it is. Yeah.
Says what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like him. But yeah, they've got some really good acts coming on up there and things like that.
See, I'm feeling old because I've not seen the Peaky Blinders.
None of them.
I heard loads about it.
You've seen none of them.
I don't watch a lot of telly.
Hold on a second, hold on.
I'll go...
Confirm that. You've seen none.
No. Well, tell a lie this week. My other half likes Peaky Blinders. So yeah. I've watched a couple, but I'm that far out, I haven't got a clue what's going on. Looks like it's something I could get into and watch, but I'm just like, don't know where I am in the story.
You have to go right back to the back. Ignore what's on there.
The first series was brilliant. Second series was pretty good. The third series was a bit meh.
Mm.
Fourth was okay. And this one's crap.
No, it isn't.
It's awful.
No, I think it's warming up. Really? It's not. It's just warming up. It's only the third one that's been on in the series.
No, four. There's four. I've watched four because you can watch. They do both on Sunday night now, so it's up to the fourth one, and it's crap.
You're not really saying it to me.
I was going to say, I beg to differ. I do beg to differ.
It's got Killian in and he gets his kit off. But
if you're
starting,
your jealousy isn't his problem.
I'm not jealous. if you're starting at the fifth season though, then you're starting at the worst one of the lot. So you've got to go back to one because you'll appreciate
it's the worst.
It's
only warming up. There's something that's about to happen, and they're setting the scene for it. They can't in the first episode.
It's
they can't
the same story as last time with a different protagonist. That's all.
Well. Some of the best series I like that. If you look back to what was that one? There's loads of 24 Hours. Remember that one with Kiefer?
Yeah, I only watched
Sutherland.
The first one of those as well. They got crap. They
did series after series after series after series after series after series. No, they were good. I watched them all over and over and over, knowing exactly what's going to happen.
You should, if you're going to do a TV series, you've got to follow the Fawlty Towers model.
Fawlty Towers.
Two series
brilliant.
And bugger off. That's it.
What was the waiter's name? Manuel. Manuel. He was good. John Cleese, yeah, amazing.
That's the one thing I love about when the winter comes. It's like the early nights and the catching up on the drama. I like the drama box sets and things, but I don't like waiting a week to watch the next episode. So I'd rather wait till it's all done, and then just have a duvet day.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and Andrew do that all the time. We're lovers of Netflix.
Yeah.
We'll quite happily sit for the whole day of a weekend when we get a weekend off. And just watch a whole series.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. It's the best way of doing it for definite, In your pyjamas.
Absolutely.
Blanket over you, just snuggled up on the sofa.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ben Harold has typed in a pile of lemons. And,
pile of lemons?
And your Drew, the love of your life, says, hello, Bab.
Hello, Bab. He sent me a message this morning.
It's nice to know your boyfriend's watching.
I know. Yeah. Hello, my darling. He said, he sent me a text. So Andrew's from Black Country. He's Black Country boy.
Okay.
And, we sent it normally called a chick or something like that. So we sent a message this morning. I said something to him about the dinner or something like that. Boring, normal relationship message. And he went, all right, Bab. And I was like, Bab? Bab, you've never called me Bab before. I was like, someone got your phone. So what's going on here? All right, Bab. And I was like, oh, so that's obviously where that is from. That's my boring little tip for the day, everybody.
So like, back to
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, yeah. Legitimate Peaky Blinders party. Yeah. It's going on and there's loads of people there, but I don't think there's many people there from the story, but there is an immersive live performance of Red Right Hand.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot going on. So there was one, was it about 4 or 5 months ago? There was another Peaky Blinders one there. But this is, I think this is bigger.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a lot more, and this is more of a music festival with it as well and things like
that. Have you been to the Peaky Blinders tour, Peaky Tours?
No, our but friend, I am, yeah.
John Moore runs it.
Yeah.
With Adrian Barrows.
Yes.
And it's really worth, I shot some of the pictures for them and I did all their merchandise for the website.
Yeah.
And I went on the thing to go and shoot it, and it's brilliant. It's a really, really good tour. And the thing, Carl Chin did it when I was there. And the thing that was really interesting is that the TV series is all utter rubbish.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with what, about the bit of the first series is about right, and that's it.
Yeah.
And actually a lot of the protagonists in the first series are actually the real names of the Peaky Blinders that were up here. But By the turn of the century, they're all done and dusted.
Yeah, so, they didn't last for very long. But you have to do that though, because you can't have a successful dramatized television program if you're going to stick right. So you've got to put a bit of. But I suppose we all do that in life and business. You've got to put a bit of spice into things just to keep people interested.
It's an interesting question here as well, though, because when you go and see films and stuff like that, they say based on a true story or based on real events.
Yeah.
And it's hard then, because how many people look back at that and go, oh, that's what actually happened, when it wasn't?
Yeah.
It becomes the history that it wasn't actually there in the first place.
Yeah.
I think that's really tough.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like if you play that game and you start off at the beginning and you say a word or a sentence, and by the time you get to the end of the line, and that's without having alcohol.
Yes, yeah. Things changes. Get very spicy when alcohol comes into Chinese whispers, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't like games like that when you've been drinking.
Yeah.
Spin the bottle's another bad one.
Oh, there's loads of drinking games. Bunnies.
Bunnies?
Bunnies, yeah.
What's bunnies?
So you have to point at someone, and they have to, if you point at them, they have to raise up both hands as a pair of bunny's ears, but the person to the left has to do the nearest hand, and the person to the right has to do the nearest hand. And then you swap it around, so you do the opposite hand to the one that's nearest. And as you get more drunk, it gets harder and harder and harder to do.
Okay. That doesn't sound like fun to me. That sounds
stressful. Well, it is because you drink. If you're too slow, you forfeit, and that's it. So, and there's another one you can do with cricket as well. It's freckles. That's really good fun.
Next freckles. Is a good one.
So you put tea bags from the urn, wet tea bags, on the middle of the table, and then everyone puts their nose on the table, and someone smashes them with a cricket bat, and whoever's got the worst case of freckles has to drink a pint.
Okay.
Right, nobody's allowed to tow freckles, because that sounds very dangerous to me. So freckles, ladies and gentlemen, is not to be played.
No, they hit the cricket bat hits the pile of tea bags, not the people.
Yeah, why does somebody miss it after a few drinks?
That's crazy going to play. That's
life in your hands.
Yeah, that's like a silly rugby mad thing. No freckles. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Sounds a bit dangerous.
Yeah, no freckles. No. When you've been drinking, no cricket bats being rammed on tables. No. What was the game you said, Joseph?
Ruined the entire weekend for about 4 million people now.
Don't worry, I'm used to it. I ruin a lot of people's weekends in my job.
Lucky no one listens to this, isn't it?
I'm always the one going, sorry, the bar's closed. I'm the one.
Yeah.
In the beginning, everyone loves me. At the end of the night, everyone's going, can I have one more? No, the bar's closed.
Do they ever pretend to ignore you?
Oh, quite frequently, yeah. Funny enough, my kids do that a lot. And Andrew sometimes, and every now and then Andrew will do it, but he's a good guy. Kids all the time, they always, always. So what was the game you said?
There's two, Shot Roulette.
Shot Roulette, I've frequented Shot Roulette a few times.
And the best one that I love is Next.
What that? I don't know what that is.
It's just Next drink, go up the bar and get one. Just quicker. That's it. Quite simply.
Next. I like that. Yeah, next. Right, I'm going to play next time I'm out.
We should do an episode of drinking games and get everyone to write in with their favourite drinking game with an explanation of the rules.
Yeah, that's a good one. We're not playing the drinking games on air.
And we'll go to a pub
though.
And we'll broadcast live from a pub. Play them.
No, we're not doing that. No.
Okay, all right.
We can record
it. You're no fun anymore.
We can record it and we can edit it and then put it out.
Yeah.
No way am I doing a drinking game live on air.
You're no fun.
No fun, maybe not. We're not doing that, no. Right, okay. So, Peaky Blinders this weekend in Digbeth. So, get yourself up there. If you haven't already got tickets, there's some still available for Sunday, I believe. There was earlier on anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we'll pop up there and have a look around there. Okay, so.
I think that's it.
Lemons.
Oh, Britpop Festival as well. That's on, but we don't have to cover that. It's on Saturday. It's pretty busy on Saturday at the Academy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Lemons.
Lemons. So, Georgie. Explain to us, what's the crack with the lemons?
What's this all about? So, obviously running a charity, we have to be very innovative and try and come up with different ideas. So a few years ago, I have rolled this out once before, but on a small scale. I came across and inspired by a holiday photo of Harry sucking a lemon. And it made me just think, oh yeah, cancer sucks. Then I was like, ding, light bulb moment or lemon moment.
Yeah.
So we're about to launch for, in October, it will be the 8th anniversary of Harry's passing. But I have to do something fun because he was such a fun character. So I thought, right, let's do this cancer sucks. So we need everybody just to have a lemon.
Yeah.
And what we want them to do is upload a video of themselves from the 8th of October sucking a lemon. Mm-hmm. Let's see your funny faces. Upload it to Facebook.
Love it.
Details will be coming on our website within the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we just want to see how far and wide. You know, it's one in two people now affected by cancer on the serious note of it.
Yeah.
And it's affecting people globally.
Yeah.
So we're doing it in partnership with a very large networking organisation. So the campaign will be going global.
Yeah.
So we want to see the fun of it. We want to see everybody's, but more importantly, it's raising awareness and hopefully some funds along the way. You know, we're asking everybody if they can to donate £1 or if they're outside the UK, $1 or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's raising awareness for Harry's story, the charity, more importantly for everybody who's in the here and now and living with cancer.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of fun.
It's a bit of fun. I think it's so much better doing these types of things when it's just a bit of crack and all of a sudden before you know it, it can go viral. And it's one of those things as well that everyone, so the kids can get involved in it and all that
absolutely.
Type of
stuff.
And what's the worst that can possibly happen for sucking a lemon?
Yeah.
Well, based on the look of that lemon, I might not be able to work this weekend if I do.
You'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine. What I have prepared for you, ladies and gentlemen, I have, you won't just.
It's ripened with age.
Listen, just take it.
Been bruised in the bottom of my bag.
Just take it like a man and suck her. Here you go. Here is a kitchen roll.
Excellent. Ladies first.
And here we go.
Oh, thanks.
And there is one for you then.
Oh, man, man, man. Here we go.
Here we go. So who wants to go first? Shall I go first?
We've only got one camera.
Do you want me to do it to say so the idea of what we're doing?
Yeah, oh, and is there, right, what do we want people as well? When they've done it, do you want them to tag?
To tag in Help Harry Help Others,
yep,
their Facebook page, and obviously the networking, you know, we're going to do a bit of a launch around that, so that will be online.
Yeah.
And then all they simply need to do is say, hi, I'm Georgie Mosley. I'm taking part in the Help Harry Help Others Cancer Sucks campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I want to nominate Marie Ewing and anybody watching, listening to this podcast to get involved. You've got 48 hours to take on the challenge.
Perfect. Beautiful. Right. Okay. So I'll do mine now. Ready?
So hang on. Here we go. Oh, hang on. We can put, I forgot, I've got a video camera here, Rick.
Oh. What are we doing?
What am I going to record it? Because it's easier to get it out on...
Okay.
Here we go. So
this is going to mess up all my lipstick.
Come on,
right,
then.
Okay. So hi, I am Mary Louise and I am going to suck this lemon to support Help Harry Help Others. And I encourage everybody else to do the same. I now nominate Andrew Watson, Patrick Blunn and Gavin Blunn. Ready? I did suck it, yeah. Ooh, go you, and you're going to love that. Oh, you might well have the squits tomorrow.
Saving the best till last.
Oh, do you want me to hold that?
Come on then. Yeah, you need to press record as well.
Oh, we should have had some water ready.
Right.
What's this over? How long has this tonic water been open? Can I take a slurp out of it?
Oh, you opened it last week, yeah. Right, my name's Ewan Rankin. Have you pressed record?
Yeah.
Right. My name's Ewan Rankin, and I'm doing this for Help Harry Help Others, because cancer sucks. suck on a lemon, and then nominate three people. I nominate my wife, obviously, my son, and my daughter. They know who they are. You ready? Oh, actually, that's quite nice.
You're a freak, you were. An absolute freak.
But the pips aren't.
Oh, I see, I told you. yum, yum.
So you get the gist.
Yes.
So 8th of October, please. 8th of yeah, October. Not before. We're going to launch it on Harry's anniversary. So,
So what is this? How many years is this anniversary?
8 years.
8 years.
Still feels like yesterday, if I'm honest. Still miss him. But I think, you know, what I love is the fact that I can talk about Harry every day, though, and the positivity, which is what he was all about. So,
yeah.
And we're helping people. His work is still helping people, which just blows me away.
Yeah. And it must make you really proud of him as well.
Yeah, as I am of his brother and sister, you know, they're just amazing kids. And, it's nice to see that just with the hard work and dedication that, you know, he's having that impact and helping people who are going through cancer today.
And a loving, caring heart, I think, is the most important thing at the centre of anyone that does good things, is that they care.
Yeah, it was very cheeky too. Yeah. And he had the biggest drops.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
What was his worst drop?
It was a boy of personality.
Yeah. What was his worst drop he ever did?
Quite often it was I hate this house. Stomp, 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 stomp upstairs. Yeah.
But, you know, kids.
Yeah.
Well, it's about leaving your mark on the world, isn't it? And if you look at what Harry's left, I mean, massive.
Mm. Absolutely, so, yeah. We've gone through this year, we've just gone through giving away our millionth pound.
Wow.
He's helped 600 and I think we're just under 650 families at the cancer centre.
Yeah.
His work's evolving. Centre number 2 will be coming next year. That's why I've gone very grey.
You're not grey. Take a look at my hair, I'll show you grey.
I love him to bits, but he has a lot to answer to, does my boy.
Yeah, he's put a lot of work on his shoulders. Yeah. But good. So when you say you've given away all that money, where does it go to? Who do you help? What happens?
Okay, so 3 funds. Help Cure, where we fund vital research.
Mm-hmm.
Help Cope, where we give grants to families suffering financial hardship. And Help Care. So we used to give money to other amazing charities. We in the Midlands, we still do. However, we've cut back and scaled back down somewhat because we don't get any funding. So it has to be from us doing crazy events and challenges like the lemon thing.
Yeah.
And also from the amazing general public that get behind us, or businesses. And when I had the idea of Birmingham's first drop-in cancer support centre of its kind, then obviously, you know, we've got to protect our own service. It's a unique service that we're offering.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to run that. And the only way we'd run that is by, and which is why I'm, you know, also the fundraiser and out trying to get the pennies in.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're really proud of the money that we've given. You know, we've given over £200,000 to research. We'll never become a huge research charity.
Yeah.
Never say never.
But it's important to add value to until we find a cure, sadly, you know, people are still going to need that help. And I can't wait for the day that we can go, you know what, it's not needed anymore, because what a result that would be.
Well, won't that be amazing if that ever happens?
I think, and that's the thing, when I was a child, my aunt had breast cancer, and she got quite lucky that they got it quite early, and she survived into her 80s, late 80s. But she was atypical at the time. Unless you were caught really, really quickly, then you really could struggle to get past it. And then 20 years later, my mother had breast cancer, and her survivability had gone up tenfold in comparison to my aunt's.
Yeah.
And then you look now, actually, you've because of the work that you've done and other people have done and put money forward, cancer's a very survivable disease now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I suppose for me, the argument is, okay, it's great that people are getting through it. They get through that treatment. They're having great care in the hospitals and things. But however, psychologically, it can impact on them.
Absolutely.
And that can last forever. You know, Harry passed away 8 years ago. It still affects me day to day.
Yeah.
But a lot of places tend to cut off after a period of time with that support, or so many sessions, or the fact that, you know, it's all the the living with stuff that Help Harry helps with. So,
yeah.
you know, you go to hospital for your treatment and that care, but when you come away and you're in the community mm-hmm. and you've just had to give up work and look for benefits advice, or you can't pay your mortgage next month because you've been diagnosed. Yeah,
financially, it must be a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's the real life stuff, how cancer impacts, that for me is frustrating, that there's not enough support in the community.
Yeah.
That's accessible, it's got the immediacy. Yeah. And that's what we are focused on doing, really, is the real life, the non-pretty stuff.
Talking about the real life, is it hard for you, someone that's so actively involved in it, and you're the figurehead, really, you're the face of it, everything pretty much relies on you. There's other people there, but you're the one that makes a lot of stuff chink into place and things like that. Is there a stage where you go, I've also gone through it and I just need a little bit of a break at the moment, or?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really had that time, but I mean, I do throughout the year get to a point where I go, I just need to get away.
Yeah.
And I tend to book a little flight and I just toddle off somewhere and just have. And I actually, before I'd met my other half, I used to go on holiday on my own, and my son used to say, Mum, you're such a loser. But I'm like, I just don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I quite often get sick of the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, yeah,
and sometimes it's just nice to wake up and think, what do I actually want to do today?
You know,
don't have to look at my watch, and because I've constantly got to be here, got to be there, got to be, you know. So it's nice for me, you know, for me. But it's good that I'm aware of that now, you know. So,
yeah.
But no, I don't think I have really had that time, but I wouldn't not do what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I love what I do.
But in that situation, I think that you need to take a, and there's an awful lot of times in life where the charity is useless without you. So you have to look after yourself, otherwise you can't look after the charity.
Absolutely. I mean, in effect, it's exactly like a business, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is really what's been started and what you're running is a business.
Yeah.
And all the exact same problems you have is every managing director is the same, where you get to the stage where you go, oh God, my head's going to explode. And you've got to recognise it before you get to that stage.
Yeah. And I think now, because we've got so many services, you know, I've never had my own business and I've never worked for a charity. It's homegrown, it's organic. So I'm still learning every day. Do I do everything the best? No, I don't. But if I've got an idea, I'm passionate enough and I can see the impact it's going to have.
Yeah.
I don't question it, I just run with it.
So do you think that's where Harry got his entrepreneurial spirit from you? Because you're definitely an entrepreneur as well. You just,
I think
you have an idea and you do it.
I don't know, because I think he taught me, really. When it comes to things to do with Harris Charity, I'm just like, a million miles an hour. And then when I just try and do stuff as Georgie Moseley, I go, ooh, I think a bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that. And I think there is that in Harry's work, it's confidence, because, you know, I get it. I've lived and breathed and I get it.
Yeah.
And probably in some other things, but I'm not so confident in it, that holds me back a little bit. But for me, it's just that I get frustrated with all sometimes the red tape, and there's planning meeting after planning meeting. And it's like, just do it.
Yeah.
Just move things forwards. You know, the drop-in cancer centre was an idea in the November light bulb moment in bed, thinking, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. The next day I was Googling who I need to speak to at the council, landed up the following week at a meeting. 4 weeks later, I had a meeting with the deputy council leader. And then within 6 weeks of that, I'd secured a building with the council. They loved the idea. Opened the door. Well, I spent 8 weeks on site decorating and literally just, you know, painting. And it's how it went. But within 6 months from idea concept, we opened the doors to the cancer centre.
Yeah.
And I've never looked back since.
Yeah.
But of course, there's always room for improvement. I don't doubt that. So, you know, somebody might come in and go, oh, actually, you could do this. But you know what?
But that's
works.
Great. And I suppose it would be brilliant if you could get people that would come in and say, like you're looking to expand the team at the moment, don't you, for a marketing person?
Yeah.
Sometimes the best thing that ever can happen to any business, and, well, anything, a relationship as well, is someone from the outside and go, oh, have you considered? Have you thought about it? It really makes you open your eyes and go, oh, right, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't. Let's have a look at how we can make that happen.
Yeah. I'm always very critical, you know, of myself and what we do in the way. I mean, obviously everything, you know, the governance that we follow and everything is very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have somebody there day to day to manage now, because I'm out of the centre such an awful lot, and you just can't be all things to all people. So,
no.
But we're at a very confident place where we are. I think the marketing person will be the final thing, because of the communication. We have to communicate so much to so many different audiences, you know, our clients, the healthcare sector, our corporate supporters, and we don't do that as good as it should be. So
It's time, isn't it, and just getting things. So going back to your corporate sponsors, your corporate partners?
So, well, the corporate support, we've got lots of corporate supporters. Yeah. We've got a few that we've had since day dot, which is which is lovely.
Yeah.
You know.
And who are those? Give them a shout out.
So Lookers Vauxhall, so they support me. Without them, I'd be on the bus every day, you know, and I'm here, there and everywhere. So what they do in supporting us and donating a car to the charity is invaluable.
They've been with you for 8 years now, haven't they?
Yes, since Harry died in 2011, actually. They supported us before we became a registered charity.
Right.
Yeah, just absolutely love them guys to bits. Baldwin's Accountants, who are a huge accountancy firm. Again, since I met David Baldwin, the director, back in 2012, every year they support. And every year you do think, oh, is this going to be the year that, you know, we lose them? And, you know, because we appreciate everybody's support.
Yeah. And every pound makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah.
And that's why I think I try and be really visible and be at everybody's events, because I appreciate it. Because without people's support, the charity cannot do what we're there to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the frustration for me, I think, sometimes, is I have to get caught up in the fundraising stuff, the event stuff and the whatever, because for me it's about the people who are on the couch needing that help.
Yeah.
And I like to spend time with them still to keep me in and as a daily reminder of this is what we're here for.
Yeah.
This is why I'm sucking lemons or climbing a mountain or speaking at a networking event or whatever, you know. Yeah. It's you got to do what you got to do, haven't you, to keep it all going?
Yeah, it's a fact of life. It's one of those things. You've just got to move on and keep going. You've got some pretty high profile ones as well.
Did you finish all your shout outs? Finish your shout outs.
That's two of the main ones. I can go on. I'll be here all day. But
ones that have been since day dot. You said there's like five. So I don't want to leave anyone out.
No, that's fine. But everybody's support is you know. But we appreciate everyone, even if we can win somebody, you know, 2020 and they're looking for a charity of the year.
Yeah.
We appreciate everybody's support. But it's nice for the long-term ones, for them to see every time we grow or evolve or there's a new service.
Yes.
It's nice for people that stay with us because they actually the ones that get to see
where
their efforts, time, money has gone.
Which is brilliant. It makes it into a bit of a family atmosphere as well. Yeah. It's kind of everyone's growing together. And
I always say they're an extended part of the team, you know, because they are
fantastic, brilliant. Yeah. Ambassadors, you've got some brilliant ones, haven't you?
We have
a couple of good-looking ones as well here. I'm telling you, the old Ben Shepherd, a nice piece of eye candy for all the ladies in the office, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ed James, Ian Taylor, Oliver Phelps, a whole load of them. James Phelps, Michael Johnson, Nathan Redmond. So, how does that happen? Is it you that brings people in that, like, because it's easy looking at it going, oh wow, that's fantastic, but someone's worked bloody hard to make that happen.
Harry did, quite simply. I won't ask any other ambassadors who are celebrities. It's not about that for me. However, these are people that met Harry, were inspired by Harry, saw how quickly the end happened for Harry, so they got it from here.
Yeah.
For me, the charity's run from the heart before the head.
Yeah.
And those people got it and get it, and I'm really touched that they've actually been there since day dot again. You know, and there's a couple that have dropped off that were, you know, great for us to have on board, but since it's not the profile story, you know, and their work commitments are so busy that they just can't be involved anymore. But it's not about bringing new ambassadors in because they're a celebrity. For me, if you haven't met Harry and you're not inspired by the story and you're not there for the longevity, then sounds awful, but whoever you are, it's not for me, and it's not for the ethos of what the charity stands for.
Well, that's Harry as well. He was the type of kid as well. He didn't really he connected with people because of his personality and his cheeky smile and all those things. He didn't go out and actively find people.
No.
They found him pretty much, didn't they?
Yeah. And I asked, I mean, Ben Shepherd, for example, I asked him. Harry had to do, you know, it's quite funny. You got We'd leave our little council house in Sheldon, get on a train, go to Euston, and then we'd walk into some very swanky hotel, and Harry would burst into these receptions going, hey, Mom, you don't have to be posh to be privileged, do you? At the top of his voice, and you'd see all these business people sort of look. But Harry would know that he'd met the... He sensed that he needed to get them on his level, so he'd just walk up to the reception desk and go, you want to see a magic trick? And by the end of it, he had everybody just circling around him.
Yeah.
And when he met Ben, Ben was really blown away. Harry was doing a talk for Seve Ballesteros before he passed away.
Right.
I can't remember. He was always in London. And that night, Harry's speech raised £53,000 for cancer research on the evening, just from him getting up and talking. And from that, him and Harry just had banter all night long. And when we got back to the hotel, Harry asked reception for a pen and piece of paper, and he left Ben a note saying, "Ben, it was lovely to meet you. Had a really good night." They'd been talking about girls and things.
Yeah.
Ben was just being nice to Harry. "Have you got a girlfriend?" And he went, "Hey, by the way, leave all the girls for me." And stay in touch, and left my phone number. And, you know, Ben just, yeah, and as always, you know, I can call Ben at any time. He opened the cancer centre when we moved. He's been to unveil billboards for one of our charity balls, you know,
yeah,
and come up from London. So he's just the most sincere, wonderful person.
Fantastic.
As Ben Shepherd, that, yeah, you know, he's just lovely.
And he looks good.
Don't know what you mean.
And do you know what, we're going to do a shout out to, I think, three of the most important people that support you. So you've got Julie Gerber,
yes,
Kelly Nunn,
yep,
and Tracy Spicknell.
Yes,
so they are the other three key members of staff that make everything
happen.
They're
the day-to-day
and do everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's in things like this, especially when you're so visible at the front,
yeah,
a lot of those people at the back don't get some of the recognition that they deserve. So I think it's really important that they get a shout out. Done, guys. Absolutely well done. Cool. So there's one other thing that I want to have a quick chat about. So you softly touched on it earlier. So the Young Offenders Institute and Schools.
Yes.
You go in there. Now, I didn't know that this was something that you did. So explain this to us.
Yeah. So the work, we're here first and foremost to help families affected by cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But our way, how we create his bracelets is a way of giving back. And I wanted to continue with that ethos. So I thought, how do we as a charity give back to people that believe in us? And for me, it's by sharing Harry's story. It's an inspirational story.
Mm-hmm.
And kids to this day are still inspired when they hear Harry's story and all that he achieved. And a lot of them go, "I can't do that." It's like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Actually, Harry just didn't give up. He had an idea. He stuck with it. He worked hard. And that's what it was about.
And he just did it. Yes. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
He just did it. He didn't he didn't procrastinate. He didn't have that. He just said, "I'm just going to do it."
That's it.
And,
and we teach that. So I basically go into schools, Young Offenders Institutes, community organisations, and we've got a social enterprise, which is basically teaches young people the basics of business.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a Harry kit, enough beads to make 100 bracelets. They have copies of Harry's PowerPoint presentations where there's grammatical mistakes, spelling mistakes. But again, it's about saying to the kids, you don't have to be good at everything, but as long as you try your best.
Yeah.
And then we split them into IT, production, sales, marketing, finance, distribution, to make and sell a bracelet. Business, and it's as easy as that. And then we split the profits between either the Young Offenders Institute or the school or the community group. And obviously half the money comes back to help Harry for the work that we do with cancer families.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love that. I think it's a brilliant way as well of another thing, carrying on Harry's legacy of just do it, just have a go, just raise some money. It's not a complicated thing to, because business really, as you go further and depending on what you're doing, it does get a bit more complicated.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be.
Doesn't need to be. And that very first step onto the business ladder isn't complicated. Yeah. It's just right.
That's what business is. And that's what we want to teach them. And also just to say, sometimes it makes them have their own ideas.
Yeah.
You know, from doing such a project, and they get really engaged in, and they're like, "Oh," or they might go off and do something for another charity.
Yeah.
That's fine, because every charity is important.
Yeah.
You know, but this is about giving them the ideas of actually making and selling a bracelet. It is business.
Yes, absolutely. So on the, staying on the subject of the young kids and the youngsters, we've also got that you run Harry's Youngsters.
Yep, so Harry's Young Stars, it is not a fundraiser for us by any means. It's an award ceremony that we run with monthly award categories.
I just love this.
So from April up until the end of November, we have things like Bravery Award, Personal Achievement Award, Charity Award, Community Court Award, Young Carer Award. It's not just for kids with cancer. It's for any amazing young person out there that's going above and beyond being an average child. It's for kids that do good. And it's about recognising and putting them on a bit of a pedestal.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, we do that in partnership with Hogarth Hotel and Baldwin's Accountants.
Mm-hmm.
They help, you know, with the promotion of it and the venue, for example. So in December, we pull all the winners from each awards category. So at the end of the month, I go and burst in to school or home or wherever and say, surprise!
Oh, that was brilliant. Which is lovely,
which we capture just on my phone.
Yeah.
And then in December, we bring them all together for a party that is just about the kids. So the food menu is all about the kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the businesses and stuff or the parents. It's about the kids.
Yeah.
And we give them a goodie bag and stuff. We do go out and get sponsorship every month, but it's just to cover the costs of giving them. Surly Hall fireworks have been amazing this year. So
yeah.
They supported it last time and they're putting on a huge fireworks display free of charge for the kids
at Hogarth. Yeah.
So that'll be the 1st of December. Right. But it's something that runs, and I have to do it every 2 years because of time, resource. You know, it's not an income generator and it actually does take an awful lot of time because we're doing it month by month. There's a judging process every month.
Yeah.
Then we have to do a visit to surprise the winner. But it's nice because it gives it a little bit of a break in between.
Brilliant. And do you get a lot of people, because the young kids have got to be nominated, don't they? Do you get a lot of people nominating, or do you get a lot of organisations? There's a lot of organisations working with these young kids.
You know, it frustrates me.
Why?
It really frustrates me because it is like pulling teeth to get people. If you hear some of the amazing stories that we hear about these kids, you know, that are, for example, last year we had a girl who was 17, for 2 years after school, off her own back, she used to go and feed the homeless. Every Wednesday night, no matter what the weather was like, she was doing her GCSEs. And it was only eventually like her mum that had nominated her. But we write off to all other charities, community organisations, and, you know, that work with young people and trying to get nominations through. It's really hard. And I don't know why, because if it's something that we hear on social media or whatever that's like a sad story or it's negative, then as a society we're all over that. But it's
absolutely,
like,
yeah,
come on, let's celebrate the good things.
Yeah,
you know. And I don't know whether it puts people off in terms that, you know, because we're a charity, it's not a fundraiser, it's not about Help Harry,
yeah,
it's about the kids, you know. And it's just another passion of mine,
but
I just don't understand why as a society we just focus on doom and gloom. And it's like, it's a bit positive, you know, it's something positive.
I think it's one of those things. It's almost like a part of human nature where, and I suppose if we think back as well to our own childhoods, probably the most parts of my childhood that I remember would be maybe when I'd got into trouble, or I'd done something wrong, or something happened. You remember those bits, but then you've got to really, it might be that one of my sisters or something would jar my memory and go, oh, do you remember when we went to such and such? And then I go, God, I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
It's human nature that we remember the bad things, and we concentrate on the bad things.
I stopped watching the news probably about 10 years ago and reading newspapers because I'm just not interested. All they want to do is make you angry and upset. So
You see, I still watch the news and things like that. Not as much as I used to, and I just don't have the time to. I don't hardly ever watch television. Yeah. But when I do like keeping up to date on it, and I love the kids watching it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's really important for children nowadays to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
I remember once years ago we were when I was childminding, it was a child that I came into contact with, but they didn't know who the Prime Minister of the country was.
Wow.
And I was like, should really know that.
Yeah.
Because it's a massive part of your future. It's a whole big thing. But I do think it's one of those things where kids have to be thanked for wonderful things that they're doing. They have to be acknowledged for them. They also have to be acknowledged when they're doing bad things.
But absolutely.
When you've acknowledged all the good things, when you say a bad thing, it's not so detrimental to them. They don't take it so much to heart.
They'll go,
oh, okay, right, sorry. Well, but remember, I did that right, so it's not so bad. But if they ever get is negative, like the news,
then
you stop watching the news because it's just negative.
And that's it with negativity. We don't empower the kids.
Yeah, and that's
the word, when we're talking about them, the next generation to go and have their own businesses, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't empower with them and give them that self-belief and that confidence and that, you know. And it's like, I can actually.
Yeah.
Then so yeah, please, if you know any amazing kids out there, again, have a look at the website and check out Harry's Young Stars. Or it's you know, every month we put something on our Facebook post, well, every week, just to get nominations through.
Fab. Okay, brilliant. The so we're going to have a quick look on the website now. I think I've gone through most of, we've sucked the lemons. I know we've definitely done that. My teeth are still tingling. So here's the website. So there's a new one coming, isn't there? You said there a while ago. A whole new one. But this one is still brilliant. And what I absolutely still love as well, this has all been designed by your logo and everything, is what Harry designed.
Yes.
So there's nothing, it's all still Harry that's pushed behind it and everything, absolutely, which is brilliant. So on here, there's loads and loads of stuff. There's that, if you press on, not now you, but on for you at home that are watching, Harry's story. So we showed that that video earlier.
We'll finish the show off with that. I'll put that on the edited version.
Yeah, beautiful. So if watch the whole lot of it. I really encourage you to watch the whole lot of it, because he was an amazing little lad. And I had a little tear in my eye when I was doing it. He was a great little boy. So I'll move on. I'll have a tear again. So... Also, if you go to donate.
Get to the shop. Get the numbers up.
So, donate. So, we've had a big conversation here today now. So, everybody knows all why it is and who needs what. And I know everybody, and there's loads of charities and everything like that. But you can donate on here from single donation of this. Now, these are cash ones, £10. But you don't have to go as high as £10. I mean, you can go up to £100. Do it. There's some companies out there that have got £100 hanging around in petty cash. This is where you need to put it. So so if you want to do just a quick donation on there, that's done. You can do a single one, or if you absolutely really want to, it'd be amazing to set up a monthly direct debit. Things like that would be brilliant for you to know. That things like that, you could start pre-planning things and things like that.
We try and encourage people just to give up the cost of one cup of coffee a month.
Yeah.
You'll never be asked to increase it or whatever, but actually coming together, you know, at the moment, people in a networking organisation that I go to every week, you know, my group has put together and they're actually paying for one person to go through 8 weeks of counselling.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I think we should shout out the names. I don't think it'll do any harm. So it's B&I.
Yeah, so it's B&I. Yeah. Yeah. So B&I Enigma. And the group members there with their monthly donations that they put in, that pays for one client to go through 8 weeks of counselling sessions.
So. That's amazing, and it's not a big hardship for anyone to do that. So it's a brilliant thing to be able to do. So if you want to do a donation, cash donation, that's fabulous on there. But also, what you can do is, if you just wanted to, for £2, and if we could get 2,000 people to buy a wristband for £2, it's a lot of money that's going to help a hell of a lot of people. Yeah. So you just click on to shop. So the second tab along, you go on to shop, and on here, I love it. You've really thought outside the box, and it was Harry that started it.
But
you've also took it to another level. So you can go on there and you can decide what colours you want. You can help bring the whole way down, but it's brilliant. You've gone for weddings. So there's a lovely picture on weddings where of the bride and her bridesmaids showing off their wristbands that have all been made to the colour scheme of the wedding. And I just think it's a lovely, really, really nice thing to. If you're getting married, why not for those have that as favours for all of you?
That's what they are, the wedding fee. Better than sugared almonds, aren't they?
A lot better.
Purposeful, have meaning.
And do good. Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Fabuloni. Okay, so I think we're pretty much wrapping up. I'm not sure how long we've been on there.
Nearly an hour.
I think we'll wrap up. Yeah. We did a crazy long one the other week, and a lot of people have gone, really? It's hard though, because it is very much like a conversation, and I get a bit, I'm always like, oh, just keep going. And then all of a sudden I think, oh God, yeah, we're actually going out live. We should be careful here. But if we go too far.
And I can talk for England, so there you go.
Oh, you're joking. You can now. Brilliant. Okay. So we're going to wrap it up. So Georgie, to wrap it up, if anybody wants to get in contact with you, wants to donate, wants to volunteer, wants to do any of those things, how do they do that?
They can take a look at the website and email us from that, which is hhho.org.uk. And more importantly, if you know anybody affected by cancer, that is why we are here. please tell them about Help Harry Help Others drop-in cancer support centre, because I can guarantee if it's not a medical thing with all the other life stuff that cancer throws your way, we will be able to help.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Mr. Ewan Rankin, how can we get hold of you?
Shout out to TSO hosts, because they give us the bandwidth to allow us to do the show and that kind of stuff. So if you want to buy anything from them, tsohosts.com, and you can do hosting packages, domains, that kind of stuff with them. And if you use the offer code BTN20, you'll get 20% off. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter or at 12 Space Media on Instagram, and British Tech Network as well, where the podcast's posted. You can go and listen to some of the other podcasts around Mac and other tech stuff there if you like.
Marvellous. Okay. My name is Mary Louise, and I am your host at Crack at the Rootless. So if you do want to become a guest on here in the future, if you want any information, or even just send us an email with something, a topic that you'd like us to cover, or a drink you'd like us to test, we absolutely love things like
that. Come October the 8th, send us some of your lemon stuff and we'll play it.
Absolutely. That's a brilliant idea. So yeah. October the 8th, we want to be inundated. So Facebook has to absolutely implode with lemons. I want loads and get loads of lemons in. Everywhere. Everybody gets stuck in. Make sure. So are we doing it on Instagram as well? And
yes.
The whole shebang. Yep. All the whole social media. Yep. Everyone on LinkedIn. LinkedIn needs a little bit of fun on there. I want everyone on LinkedIn as well sucking lemons. Yep. I think that's what we need as well. Absolutely. Yep. Brilliant. So if you send in anything into Mary, M-A-R-I-E, at crack at the root. No, I did that last week. Mary at therootlesspub.com.
You'll get this.
I know. Yeah, I keep messing up other things. So if you send it in to Mary at therootlesspub.com, and we'll get back in touch with you. Also on Facebook and Instagram, please have a like, and on iTunes, we're on there as well. So just subscribe and you'll get notifications then of every time we come up. One last thing that I am going to do is, firstly, Georgina, thank you so very much.
I think you're welcome.
You've
thank
been an
you.
Absolute pleasure. And I'd love to go for a drink with you one night. Oh. I think we could have quite a good
like plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we will do that for definite. I'm also going to say, because I don't do it enough, Mr. Ewan Rankin, thank you very much, because you are the one that makes all this happen, and your technology and your green screen and all your stuff. So thank you very, very much.
No,
for
that's
it.
Good fun.
If anyone does want to do anything like this, Ewan's the guy to get in touch with.
Yes.
So, and it's a brilliant thing to do. It's also brilliant fun. I love it. Absolutely love it. Right, okay, so we're going to wrap up there. And the most important person we're going to thank today is Harry. Thank you for making all this possible, for starting it all up. And goodbye, young chap. Well done.
I really hope you enjoy my presentation. It might be a bit wobbly because Mum's holding it. So, here we go.
Hello, I'm Harry and this is my story.
I am 11 years old. I live in Sheldon and go to Blake in our junior school.
Harry was just a really confident, funny little boy. Your average 6-year-old at the time. Very mischievous, looked up to his brother, very close, and just a joy to be around, like every 6-year-old is.
In 2007, I found out that I had a brain tumour.
I called a pilocytic tumour in my hypothalamus.
My mum explained to me that it was cancer. I just didn't know what to do.
Our lives were just thrown up into the air, but you just have to keep as much normality as you can and just get on with it.
I went to the QE hospital every day for 6 weeks. During this time, I had to have a mask made on my head. Doctors cannot operate on me as my tumour is in a dangerous place deep in my brain.
I'm Dr. Andrew Pete. I'm an oncologist, paediatric oncologist at Birmingham Children's Hospital. I met Harry by being his consultant oncologist. It was a tumour which, although usually grows really very slowly, was really right in the middle of the brain and wrapped around all of the nerves for eyesight. So that was one of the things that really kind of brought this to light.
I have had chemotherapy including vincristine, carboplatin and etoposide.
There was only ever one point when he got really low on chemo. You know, it always affected his immune system.
On Monday, you might have already known that I had to go to hospital because I'd stopped growing. I didn't feel that, I felt really ill on that day.
He ended up staying in hospital lots because his body became what they call neutropenic, which means you have no immune system. And every time you have a temperature over 37.5 degrees, you have to be rushed to hospital.
I met Robert when I was having my radiotherapy. Me and Robert started the same time and finished on the same time.
Harry would say to Robert, you know, have you kept the bed warm for me, Robert, today? And that's really how they got chatting.
I'm Trina Harley. I'm the wife of Robert Harley, who was Harry's special friend. His grasp of business and his entrepreneurial spirit really sort of impressed Robert, as well as his ability to be so positive, you know, when having to put up with what he had to go through. He really had to try and do something to find a cure for brain tumours so that nobody else would have to suffer, like indeed he or Robert.
About a year later, Robert was ill. So I said to Mum, I want to go and visit him.
You know, as a little boy, the reality of what the illness can do, Harry knew his illness was life-threatening, was too close to home. But Harry actually turned around to us and said, Mum, if that was me that was in that situation, you wouldn't want somebody not to come to hospital to see me because of how they felt.
When we had to go, I made sure I gave Robert a kiss on the cheek and he managed to say, that was nice. So that really warmed my heart, but I still didn't like it that Robert was ill.
We literally got home and he said, Mum, I've got to do something to get Robert better.
I decided that something needed to be done, so I decided to make bracelets. I thought it would just be around my family, but it got absolutely massive.
On Friday, I had a mini launch, a local launch, my campaign. My Twitter friends, Ben Shepherd and Wincy Willis were there. Tom Ross was there. Oliver Phelps and James Phelps was there. Michael Johnson and Ian Taylor, old footballers. Well, still well known. And also Gary Lineker was, which I was really pleased to come make it. And then we went to Darlington, doing a presentation to three schools. On Monday, going to the Wentworth to meet all the famous golfers. Even met Bruce Forsyth. Nice to see you, nice. On Tuesday, I done my speech to the 500 people. Great turnout because I got more people aware of my campaign. Got a standing ovation at the end. Mum was blarting once again.
Harry went literally all over the place. He'd do events at Asda and he'd see old people and some of his regulars that for updates. He'd go into a lot of schools and talk to all the kids, and he loved nothing more than sitting with the kids after an assembly and telling his story and all about him, all about Robert, why he started and what his school's initiative was all about. I don't think he could ever get, you know, what he was doing was so special, because to him it was just his little campaign and it was his baby.
You've helped me raise £1,100 just by buying my bracelets, which is brilliant, trust me. Sadly, 4 weeks into my campaign, my special friend died. This makes me very sad that I could not help him, the reason and inspiration of why I started my campaign.
Someone nominated me for Britain's Kindest Kid. I didn't think I'd get through, but I got through to the final five. We went to Downing Street and met Gordon Brown. And then one day, it was the day when you got told who was it. I didn't have a call, so I didn't think it was me. And during assembly at school, they burst through the door and told me I'd won. I just was speechless.
I'm really glad, and I'm super gobsmacked.
I think people think I'm kind, and I think I'm kind a bit.
And then he was shortlisted for Children's Champions, and he actually went to London with all the candidates, and he was very proud to be Children's Champions winner. That's where he met Duncan Bannatyne, who's also now an ambassador.
I'm Duncan Bannatyne, and I'm known for being on Dragon's Den. And I met Harry when myself and my other dragons were invited to the Children's Champion Awards. I got to know Harry, and we became very good friends. What impressed me most about Harry's business ideas was the fact that Harry got the business ideas, he just went out and he just went for it. If he decided he was selling bracelets, then that's what he was doing, and wherever he was, people would have to buy his bracelets. And he was very serious about his fundraising. Harry's latest venture was help Harry help others, and I got involved in that, and I was talking to his mother about it. The more he got, the more he just wanted to concentrate and run the business, and he was absolutely fantastic at that. I think the lasting legacy from Harry is, you know, for us, all of us, to be less selfish and think of other people more, which is what Harry did, and not to dwell on our problems, but to dwell on what we can do to help others and have a better life and a better future.
Robert would want me to carry on, keep on going and help others with the same illness that he and me have.
He went on to win endless awards, but it wasn't about the awards for Harry, and very much, you know, if it was ever something he won and it involved money, like his Harley house, you know, he invested his money in that.
Just let you know about health-wise, been still having my headaches, but let's just forget about that because I don't like tweeting it, just I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because my auntie, it's about me being positive, so that's gone, let's forget that.
He always got headaches, but he was getting worse. Headaches were getting, you know, a bit worse. So, and we wasn't sure whether it was the weather at the time, and we checked it out with the hospital. And on two or three occasions, we took Harry, within a period of about a week or so, rushed him into hospital, kept him on overnight, but there was no obvious signs, so he was discharged. His final trip, we went to Virgin Media in London, and he'd done his amazing speech and gotten great with everybody at Virgin. And then we got home and... you know, we got in touch with the hospital again.
I've not been feeling myself the last couple of days as I went in hospital on Monday, but that's over with now, so let's forget that.
We found out that Harry had got hydrocephalus, which is a build-up of fluid in the brain. What we didn't know at the time, that the build-up of fluid was caused because Harry's tumour had grown and blocked off the passageway that the fluid should drain down. So in actual fact, it gave him a little bit of hope because they could actually access the tumour via the ventricles.
I'm feeling quite tired this week as it's been a really busy one.
The only hope we had was to go through with the surgery, because if not, Harry would have just, his tumour would have kept growing and growing, and we would have lost Harry. It's just so hard to grasp that during that operation, that was really when we lost Harry. He had a huge hemorrhage. I promised Harry faithfully that we would get him home, and they arranged for Harry to come home on the Friday, and they removed his ventilator at home. And
in his short life, Harry Moseley achieved a remarkable amount. Today, hundreds gathered at St Edburga's Church in Yardley to pay their respects.
I remember being so helpless at the fact that I couldn't fix you and patch you up and make you better like a mum should. I will never ever forget the happiness and the love that you brought into our lives and the millions of special memories that you gave. I hope you're at peace and really happy now. You will not be remembered as Harry with a brain tumour, but as Harry who help people with brain tumours. You made it happen, H. I hope you never forget that. I will always, always love you with all of my heart.
The most inspirational person that has helped me through my campaign has got to be my mum. She is absolutely fantastic. You couldn't ask for a better person in my life.
And after Harry passed away, I just thought, that's it, you know, it's obviously all over. You know, our journey of hope and everything has ended. And it was literally from the response from children that had been inspired by Harry and the public that I just snapped one morning and thought, why shouldn't Harry's work, you know, continue?
I'd hope that I'd just inspire them to do more for charity, even if it's for different causes and stuff. It just means a lot to the people who are suffering with that type of cancer.
Now we have become an established charity as Help Harry Help Others. All of this will be going to, obviously, Harry's Help Harry headquarters, a shop, which we will hopefully inspire kids like Harry always wanted to.
Thanks for listening to my presentation. I really hope you can help Harry help others. The support is very important to people like me who live in the hope that one day there will be a cure for brain tumour. I'm sadly too late to help Robert, but it is so important to me that you can still help others. I really do hope you enjoyed my presentation, and I want to leave you with a massive mwah. Love you guys, and enjoy your day. Bye!